The world called Fulton a fool when he drove the first boat by steam up the river. The world called Wright a fool when he flew this plane high into the air. The world called Lindbergh a fool when he attempted to fly the Atlantic. The world thought Bell a tinkering fool to monkey with wires and the transmission of voice over wires. Yet the world was wrong, and today our huge ocean liners testify that Fulton was right. Our airplanes traveling 700 and 800 miles an hour show the wisdom of Wright. Our daily hops across the ocean support Lindbergh's daring. The radio, this instrument I talk in, proves that Bell was right. The world today calls us fools for bothering about religion. They say it's ridiculous. Any person that bothers about being saved and born again, why, they're crazy, the world says. I actually know of cases where men were rejected from the army by some of our examiners and called fools because they believed in the Bible and being born again. And I say, if these men are right, then the Bible is wrong. The book in our Supreme Courts in Washington, D.C. is a pack of lies and should be taken out. But it's not. The Bible is right. The Bible says in Psalm 14:1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Now, you don't have to announce to the world that you're an atheist to be a fool. Just act it. Just assume it. Just live it, and you'll be a fool in God's sight. God calls atheists fools. And boys, we've got plenty of them around this old world today. Men and women who live without God, they ask no blessing over their food. They never say their prayers except when they're dying or they're sick. My, they get religious then. They never go to church, that is, one where the gospel is preached. They never read the Bible. They never breathe His name, the name of the Lord, except as an oath and in vain. So, I'm talking about you, am I not? That describes you, doesn't it? Well, God calls you, my friend, a fool. Then, too, in Proverbs 14:9, God says, fools make a mock of sin. You say, why, there's no such thing as sin. It's all a matter of opinion. It's all in the way you look at it. It all depends on what standard you go by. Why, everyone must sow his wild oats, and why, there's no such thing as sin. You just look at it wrong. It's not a sin, it's a mistake. My friend, if you look at sin in any of these ways, God calls you a fool. I wouldn't dare call you that. But God calls you an unmitigated fool. Fools make a mock of sin. Now, I want to ask you, have you been doing that? Have you been trying to ease up on your sin, trying to tell yourself and soothe your own conscience? God won't mind that. Everybody's letting down the bars these days. So will I. Yet out of the darkness God thunders, and His voice comes, the wages of sin is death. A sailor said to me just a few days ago, he said, I'm going to have my fling at life, he said. I know my mother's praying for me every night as regular as clockwork, but what do I care? He said, I want to see life. I want to have my fling. Go ahead, I said, go ahead. Wouldn't bother your mother or anybody else. Wouldn't hurt me. But sin pays big wages, I said. It pays big wages. But the wages of sin is death. That's true. The other night at the close of one of our meetings, there came up to me a young chap, 14 or 15 years old. He said with trembling voice, Mr. Crawford, I do belong to church and I've been baptized and all that, but he said, I'm afraid I'm not ready to die. I put my arm around his shoulders and his whole frame was trembling and quaking. God had taken hold, the Spirit of God had allowed him to get the proper view of sin and its punishment, hell, and he trembled and shook. Oh, my friend, listen to me. I wonder if you've had that yet. You there by the radio now. Have you had that? Has God lifted the cap off your heart whereby you've seen yourself, your own heart, wicked and blackened before Him and sin-stained and deserving of hell? Have you had that? My friend, that's the first requisite of salvation. To see yourself as God sees you, holding it before you and conscious of it. I'm not talking about your neighbor's sin. Not some hypocrite, but your own. Have you ever had that yet? If not, my friend, I'm afraid that you've never yet have passed from death unto life. You've never really experienced the new birth. You've never really appreciated what Jesus did for you on Calvary. Then two fools live only for this world. Jesus told the story of a man who had plenty of money, plenty of food stored up. And he said to himself, to his own soul, O soul, take thine ease. Let's eat, drink, and be merry. I will build bigger barns, and I'll enjoy my money now. But God stepped in. God stepped in. He forgot about God, you know. And God said to him, thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Man called him a successful businessman. God called him a fool. How about you? How do you stack up alongside that? Why don't you stop and think about eternity and where you're going to go? Then too, a man is a fool in the eyes of some if he follows Jesus Christ. I read from 1 Corinthians 14:10, and you can read it yourself, where it says, we are fools for Christ's sake. You can't expect to be popular with the worldly drinking crowd, not if you're a real soldier of the cross. They'll call you a holier-than-thou, a religious crank, a wallflower, a goody-goody. Why? Why do they do it? Because they themselves are not willing to turn from their sin and be different and follow Jesus Christ. That's your trouble. You haven't got the stuff in you to be a fool for Christ's sake, have you? This week in our meetings, scores took the Lord as their Savior. Last night, there were over 50 young men and women gave their hearts to Jesus Christ. Thousands have around this nation. And listen to me. We want you to do the very same thing. The thrill that you'll experience when you take up your cross and be a fool for Christ's sake will make it worthwhile to go to heaven, believe me. A man was converted in one of our missions. His heart was bubbling over with joy. He wanted only his life to be a testimony for Jesus Christ, so he said, I'm going to be a sandwich for Jesus. He had done it before, carried signs on the front and on the back of his body around for different organizations, and got paid for it, so he wanted to do it for Jesus. So he took two signs with straps over the shoulders, you know, and hung the signs, one on the front and one on the back. And he walked down the street, and on the front he had, written on the front of it, I'm Christ's fool. And the crowd looked on him in pity and said, that's true. It's just a shame. He's gone bats. Religion has got it. He was a nice fella. And then as he passed, they read on the other side, whose fool are you? That hurt. They knew if they weren't the Lord's fool, they were the devil's fool. And my friend, let me ask you now, whose fool are you? Are you one of these wise guys? Are you one of these wise women that think you're so smart and you're flippant and you can laugh in his face and take his name in vain and drag it in the gutter? My friend, you're just the devil's fool. You think you're smart, but wait, God's going to get you. The time's going to come, whether you like it or not, when you'll bow your knees and you'll put your nose down in the dust at his feet. God calls you a fool. You're short-sighted. Why don't you look ahead and see that the thing worthwhile is to take the reproach of the cross and the ridicule of the world and let that bunch down at the office and the plant and there at school and there in the army poke fun and sneer if they want to. You say, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ if it's the last thing I do. Will you do that? That's what I did a while back. It cost me something to be a soldier of the cross. But I want to tell you, I've had a thrill like I never found out in Los Angeles or in Hollywood or any other joint around the nation, any other place around the nation. You can have it too. Will you do it? Will you receive him today? I hope you will.